Today we're going to continue the study we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. Last time we were together, we began to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 Peter. And that's where we're going to pick up today. So I hope you have your Bibles, and we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 in 1 through 4, verses 1 through 4, 1 Peter 5. The Word of God has this to say. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, in a witness of the sufferings of Christ, in also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So what I want us to see about this passage is the pastor is commanded to be a loving and humble example for God's people and not a proud dictator. Amen. Alrighty, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. And the Word of God has this to say. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Here is a great verse on Christian humility to go with James chapter 4, verse number 10, which says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So that's one of the characteristics of a Christian, is humility, Christian humility. Amen. There is such thing as false humility. People go around acting like they're humble when they're really not. Amen. Christian humility is very important in the life of a Christian. Amen. And then now we turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse number 8. The Word of God says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So what I want to say is this, is the Christian who isn't aware of the devil's movements will likely be devoured by him. Notice also what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So we know the Christian has three enemies. Amen. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. And we need to be, if we're going to be victorious, we need to know everything about our enemies. So we want to see that the devil, he is an adversary. Amen. And he will go, he's trying to go after us, to devour us, to destroy our Christian testimony. And we need not be ignorant of his devices. The Bible, the words of Almighty God, give us all the information there is that we need to know about our enemy, the devil. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. We need to read the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, put it into practice. If you want to know about your enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil, it's the words of Almighty God that'll tell you the characteristics and the warnings and the things we should be looking out for. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Peter now. We're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 2 Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, the Scriptures are to be read and believed, not interpreted. We're told that interpretations belong to God, not to man. Notice in Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, the Word of God says this, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto him, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." Now let's turn and look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7. And the Word of God says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked." So believe it or not, Lot was a just man, as in justified. He is also called a righteous man in the next verse. What we want to see about Lot is he lost his testimony, but not his salvation. Amen. He was worldly. A worldly Christian loses their testimony, but not their salvation. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse number 4, the Word of God says, "In saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." Amen. Here we have the evolutionary belief of uniformitarianism being introduced by the scoffers. The idea that everything has just sort of evolved over billions of years into its present state. And of course, this is an incorrect view, because the Genesis account speaks of creation in Genesis 1 and catastrophe in Genesis 6 to 8, which means that we see today the fossil records, for instance, is the result of God intervening judgment, not Darwin's foolish theory. Alrighty, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. The Word of God says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." For those who believe that God has a basic 7,000-year plan for humanity, as I do, this is the verse that opens the door. Each of the 6 creative days of Genesis chapter 1 would correspond to the first 6,000 years of history. The seventh day rest of Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, corresponds to the coming millennial kingdom of Christ, a Sabbath rest for the earth and its inhabitants. Alrighty, let's look at 2 Peter. We're looking at some noteworthy verses in the book of 2 Peter. We want to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Word of God says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, is some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What we have here is a good verse to quote to people after warning them about hell. They don't need to be left with the idea that God wants them in hell, but rather he is not willing that any should perish. and that he has made provision through his Son. Amen. 2 Peter, we're still in 2 Peter chapter 3 now, verse 13, we read this. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This verse, coupled with Isaiah 9:7, which says the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, might indicate that God intends to eventually populate the universe. Amen. All righty, now let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse number 16, we read this. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures under their own destruction. Now, what we want to see here is notice that Peter considered Paul's epistles to be scriptures, because there in verse 15 of 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, in account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul also, according to the wisdom, giveth unto him, hath written unto you. Amen. All right, now we're going to turn our attention and we're going to look at some noteworthy verses in the book of 1 John. So let's turn to 1 John and we're going to look at chapter 1 in verse number 9. The Word of God says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess our sins to God, not to any earthly man. When we do, we have assurance that all is covered by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise the Lord for that. First John chapter 2, in verses 15 to 17, we read this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This is a great passage, is it not, unloving God and not the world. Amen. This passage, many messages could be preached from it and taught from it. We're commanded not to love the world, neither the things in the world. Amen. We have to use the things of the world, amen, but we're not to love them. Amen. We need a car to get around, but we're not to love the car, as some people do. And then we're told, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So if you love the world, you can't have the love of the Father in you. They both can't be together. It's one or the other. And then it talks about how the ways we're tempted in the that's in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but it's of the world. This is how the world tempts us. These are the three avenues that the devil tried to tempt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And then what we're told is the world passeth away in the lust thereof. The world as we see it today, amen, and the things that the flesh lusts after, is going to pass away. It's temporary. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Praise the Lord for that. Because those who do the will of God abide forever. That's eternal. Eternal life through Jesus Christ. Alrighty, now we're going to look at 1 John. We're still in 1 John, and we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 27. The Word of God says this, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in his truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now, teachers are certainly helpful, but since we have the indwelling Holy Spirit, they are not needful, or at least not for the basics. We have the Word of God that we can read for ourselves and the Holy Spirit to guide into all truth. John's Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 13 says this, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you things to come." Now let's turn our attention to 1 John chapter 4, in verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God." What we want to see here is there aren't some false prophets and unclean spirits in the world. There are many. At the risk of being labeled judgmental, we are commanded to try them. Notice also what it says in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation 2, verse 2. The Word of God says, "I know thy works and thy labor." Here the Lord is addressing the church at Ephesus. "I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. But thou hast tried them, which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars." Look also at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Spiritually speaking, we have already come to the world. Overcome the world in Jesus Christ. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The same as what we just said about 1 John 4, 4. Spiritually speaking, we have already overcome the world in Jesus Christ. Alrighty, as we're looking at some noteworthy verses here in 1 John. Now we want to look at 1 John chapter 5 in verse number 7. The Word of God says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one." This is a great verse on the Trinity. The Word, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The capital W, the Word, is a reference to Jesus Christ. Remember, we were looking at some noteworthy verses in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. It said, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, meaning Jesus Christ, "and the Word was with God," capital W, meaning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, third person of the Trinity. "The Word," capital W again, "was God." So Jesus is God. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14 of John chapter 1, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. All righty, let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Every believer should have this verse memorized. Amen. As it states clearly that a person can know that he is saved, present tense, right now, if they believe on the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty, let's turn now to 2 John chapter 1, verse 8. We read this. It says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Being saved isn't enough. We are also in the business of earning some rewards for the judgment seat of Christ. But if we compromise our conviction, we can lose some of those rewards. Remember, Lot was saved from the destruction of Sodom, but he lost a great deal in the process. Amen. Alrighty, let's turn to Jude. Jude 1, verse 6. The Word of God says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. This verse, coupled with Genesis 6:2, which says that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. This verse, coupled Jude 6, coupled with Genesis 6:2, shows that the sons of God were fallen angels that have cohabitated with earthly women and produced the giants. All righty, let's look at Jude chapter 1, verse 9. We read this. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. So here we see the dispute about the body of Moses must have been over the fact that God raised him up after burying him in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 6. Deuteronomy 34, verse 6. We read this, referring to Moses, and he buried him in the valley, in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And this would explain why he appeared with Elijah there in Matthew chapter 17, in verses 1 through 5 at the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. Where he was there with Elijah, and the Lord was transformed, amen. So we see there in Matthew 17, verses 1 to 5, it said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of a cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now, let's look at Jude, chapter 1, verse 20. Jude 1:20. the Word of God says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying the Holy Ghost. Now, the charismatics interpret the words praying in the Holy Ghost to mean praying in unknown tongues, although it said nothing of the kind here or anywhere. Praying in the Holy Ghost is the same as praying always with all prayer in the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, where we have the armor. We're told to put on the whole armor of God in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance in supplication for all saints. So that's what praying in the Holy Ghost is the same as praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and has nothing to do with tongues. Amen. This whole tongue business is just has to do with someone not being able to read the Word of God and understand what it says and put it in its proper place. Amen. We should read the whole Bible, but not all of the Bible doctrinally applies for you and I today in the church age. Amen? Most of that Old Testament we see, it applies to Israel and in the nations. Amen. So, yes, we can take it and apply it, make a spiritual or practical lesson from the Old Testament to apply it to us, but not doctrine. Amen. Doctrine of the church age is basically found in the Pauline epistles. Amen. Now, let's look in Jude chapter 1, verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. This is a great reminder that slowing down and letting people see that you really care about them can really make a difference. You know, as you and I are told that as Christians, disciples of Christ, we're to be Christ-like. We're to follow his example. And all through the Gospels, that's what Jesus did. He slowed down. He dealt with individuals. Amen. He showed them that he really cared. He had compassion. He made a difference. Amen. Over and over again, we see him looking at the multitude. He'd see the people. And we read over and over again that Jesus Christ had compassion on the multitude. We saw how he had compassion on individuals as he healed blind Bartimaeus, as he rose Lazarus, the brother of Martha and Mary, from the dead. We saw as he rose the son, the only son of this woman of Nain, from the dead. And we saw he rose that little girl from the dead. He had compassion. He made a difference. We should have compassion as Christians for others and make a difference in their lives and let them see Christ in our lives. Well, we're just about run out of time. Next time together, we'll look at noteworthy verses in the final book of the Bible, Revelation. So I hope you'll join me. Till we meet again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer, and good day.